and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Now, if Westpac, the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, has its way, there will be changes to the existing restrictions under the expansion of the Papahānaumokuakea Marine National Monument. The Council Coordination Committee, which includes 8 regional fishery management heads, sent a letter to President Trump earlier this month. In it, the CCC details what it says are impacts on marine national monuments. Environmental groups counter that Westpac is actually lobbying for a rollback of the Obama policy from last fall. We'll hear from Earth Justice tomorrow. Today, a look at the recommendations from last week's 3-day Westpac meeting, including how the council would like to see U.S. fishing grounds kept open to U.S. fisheries. Edwin Ebisui is Westpac's chair, and he's with us now. I'm glad to talk to you about this. You've said that the statements that were made by Earth Justice were inappropriate. What specifically was inappropriate about their response to the letter?
Well, I was referencing the use of the term lobbying, which has a very specific legal definition. There was also reference to inappropriate conduct and possibly criminal conduct in the CCC having made contact with the new administration.
What specifically would be construed as being criminal?
I'm not sure. I mean, it was just in the press release that, you know, it. I believe the phrase was potentially illegal. And I assume that it's in reference to so-called lobbying.
The idea that you sent a letter to the president, which is the executive branch and clearly not legislative, but clearly we've seen a lot come out of the executive branch in past administrations and certainly even from this one, seems to be piquing them as well. And there was a sense of maybe that wasn't appropriate. But you say that it was perfectly appropriate. Why?
Yes, because every step of the way in the process and in the outcome of the CCC meeting was attended by NOAA General Counsel. And NOAA General Counsel did not express any reservations or concerns about lobbying or inappropriate activity by the CCC. So it wasn't as if we did this in a vacuum. Legal counsel was there.
You've made the difference between reporting impacts and lobbying and saying those are two different things and just telling the president these are some of the impacts that we see. What specifically were you detailing in that letter?
What we were requesting is that the new administration review the prohibitions on commercial fishing in the monument area.
That's what you were requesting, but giving them a sense of what those impacts were to cause the review, what would those impacts be? What have you seen in marine national monuments that would lead you to believe that it would be in the best interest to lift the restrictions?
Oh, okay. Now I understand. You know, the monument comprises the monuments. We're not only speaking of the monument, National Marine Monument in Hawaii, but we're also speaking of the monuments in American Samoa and also in the Northern Mariana Islands. But in any event, the National Marine Monuments comprise 25% of the entire U.S. EEZ, the U.S. Exclusive Economic Zone. So it's a very, very substantial area. It's about a little over 600,000 square nautical miles that our domestic commercial fishers have been locked out of. So, you know, it's a substantial hardship. I would point to the Magnuson Act, which Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Management Conservation Act of 76, which really is the premier legislative scheme for fishery management in the United States. And in that scheme, it says that the councils will manage fisheries to, number one, prevent overfishing, and number two, to optimize yield for the country.
And that's in part what you lean on when you say that when we look at the total consumption within the United States, that 90-92% of it comes from elsewhere, that we can't feed ourselves with that, and that, in fact, we are in this, according to you, undercutting the ability of American fishers to be able to go in there and at least take a greater portion of those sales because we seem to be buying them from elsewhere.
Yes, and feeding our own people.
But the point, the sticking point there seems to be with the IUUs, which are the illegal fisheries that or unregulated and unreported fisheries that come in from elsewhere, and you've said, you know, perhaps China, other Asian nations who have come in and fish and then sell it back to us.
Right.
Some would say, well, if we allow Americans to go and fish, maybe that will take a bigger portion of that. But shouldn't we be, in fact, going after the IUUs? Because there is a mechanism for that, is there? Question is whether or not we will be willing to challenge those nations.
Yes. There is a mechanism in place that came into place late during President Obama's administration, where he set up an office for seafood traceability to identify the source of the fish and also to combat IUU fishing. But it just started. So I don't know how long this process will take for us to get a better handle on IUU fishing, but it's going to take a while.
While we're waiting in that while, shouldn't American fishers be allowed to be able to go in and fish and at least take, again, some portion of that back by fishing and making it available to the American public?
Yeah. Well, we know that, you know, our fish is not IUU fish. We are the top-tier fishers in the world for sustainability, responsibility, accountability, enforceability. We're highly regulated, and we produce good product. The big picture, when we hamstring our own domestic fishers, we are actually subsidizing and encouraging more importation of IUU fish.
There seems to also be an issue with a sense of making everybody responsible for the same rules and regulations, which clearly don't happen or doesn't happen around the world in the same way that you've made the point happens in the United States. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to have parity, isn't that really where some of the attention needs to go to? If you're going to say that everybody's going to be playing by the same rules, these are what they are, and we announce quotas, and in other countries they don't necessarily announce when they're approaching. We certainly know.
Yeah, that would be ideal. You know, everybody play by the same rules. Everybody respect the rules. Everybody comply with the rules.
What would it take for that to happen?
That's a big question.
Because we've heard from, for example, Dr. Sylvia Earle and others over time, but especially from her, that we are looking at oceans that are overfished and that we have to be much more concerned about conservation of these animals, allowing them to be able to rebound, certainly talking about tuna in our case and our love affair with tuna in Hawaii.
Sure.
How do you answer her when she says the oceans are overfished?
Well, I would say that as in general terms and for a certain species, that is a very accurate statement. With respect to the particular scenario that's before us, the prohibition against commercial fishing in the National Marine Monuments do not contribute to conservation of big eye tuna stocks. They simply don't. They're being tuna stocks are wide. Pacific-wide.
They're pelagic. They roam all over the place. The question is, how do we have data to show what's there and what's not there over time? Do we have data?
Sure. The commissions, IATTC and the WCPFC, have their scientific bodies that do stock assessments and make projections.
And what's your read of that as you see whether or not we're looking at overfishing or stocks that are depleted?
Certain stocks are depleted. Certain stocks aren't. In particular, the big eye tuna is not in the same category as, say, bluefin, Pacific bluefin. So, it's being, Big Ituna are already managed under this international convention. So by us shutting off our domestic fishers from our area contributes nothing to the conservation of the stock. The same amount of fish will be caught. It's just from a different area and at a higher cost.
So now what do you think the next step would be? Obviously, you've given this letter. You're asking for these restrictions to be lifted. What happens next? What came out of last week's meeting in terms of next steps?
Not sure. I mean, with the new administration, it's my perspective is it's kind of a wait and see situation. Secretary Ross has already indicated that one of his priorities would be to increase domestic production and to positively affect the balance of trade. The request seems to be in line with Secretary Ross's thinking.
I want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you
for the conversation. Edwin Ebisui Jr. is an attorney and Hawaii Commercial Marine license holder. He is currently the chair of the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council. WESPAC was established by Congress in 1976, along with seven other regional councils to manage fisheries throughout U.S. territorial waters. WESPAC supports the removal of fishing prohibitions within the marine national monuments in the U.S. Pacific Islands. Tomorrow, we'll talk with Earth Justice That Does Not.